The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards with the Armchair Traveler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you from Virtuoso Life magazine, and more about that in just a moment. Just wanted to make sure that before we begin our journey on the Armchair Traveler, that I remind you that neither the Triangle Radio Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we will be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Now, recently on Armchair Traveler, you may have heard us use the term sustainable travel. If you're like me, you may be asking, what exactly is sustainable travel? Well, to find an answer, we turn to travel blogger Charlie Marchant. In her March 26, 2019 blog, Charlie on Travel, Marchant provides an informative answer to our question. Here goes. She writes, sustainable travel means finding a way that tourism can be maintained long-term without harming natural and cultural environments. Sustainable travel should minimize the negative impacts of tourism and ideally be beneficial to the area in which it takes place. The World Tourism Organization defines sustainable tourism as development which meets the needs of present tourists and host regions while protecting and enhancing opportunity for the future. It is envisaged as leading to management of all resources in such a way that economic, social, and aesthetic needs can be fulfilled while maintaining cultural integrity, essential ecological processes, biological diversity, and life support system. Sustainable travel is about valuing the environment and looking after our natural resources. Travelers need to be more aware of pollution levels caused by travel and how that affects the environment and local wildlife. They also need to be aware of how tourism affects local people, businesses, and native cultures. Now, Marchant goes on to tell us about what she calls the three pillars of sustainability. First, the environmental pillar. The environmental pillar focuses on reducing negative impacts on the environment and wildlife from traveling. This includes minimizing our carbon footprint, especially from air travel, water usage, packaging, and plastic waste, and not disturbing wildlife. As sustainable travelers, we can have a simple positive effect by carrying our own reusables. We can look for hotels and restaurants which recycle and are built from sustainable materials. And we can research wildlife tourism to seek out responsible tour operators. Now, second is the social pillar. The social pillar is about our impact on local people and communities. This includes supporting businesses that are run by, employ, and support local people, as well as community tourism projects, NGOs, which are nonprofit groups, social enterprises, and charities. Responsible travelers can look for opportunities to be involved in these types of projects and be aware of who businesses employ and whether they're fairly paid and whether their work environment is safe. And our third is the economic pillar. Traditionally, the economic pillar refers to businesses being profitable in order to be sustainable. However, when it comes to sustainable travel, we can apply the economic pillar to using our money to positively contribute to the local economy. As tourists, we can give our tourist pound to locally run hotels, restaurants, and tour guides to support the local economy. So, with all that in mind regarding sustainable travel, we begin today's Armchair Traveler with the Sustainable Travel Report. We find it in the July-August 2019 issue of a magazine entitled A Virtuoso Life. Now, this is a travel industry publication marketed to travel professionals and experts. And as the editors preface the report, it provides news, insider insight, and in addition, an African Grand Tour for Good. And we'll find out more about that in just a few minutes as we continue reading today. So let's begin our sustainable report. And Barb Siegel is the editor for this. We start with community as one of the broad topics here, and more specifically, youth outreach in Tel Aviv. I feel really shanty here, a homeless girl said to the founder of a Tel Aviv shelter for at-risk youth, and so Shanty House took its name from the Sanskrit word for peace and tranquility. The shelter nurtures these young people with the help of a 555-room Intercontinental David Tel Aviv, which provides Shanty's residents with opportunities to work with the hotel as part of their rehabilitation. The hotel also partners with a local special needs school, offering students an 8-month professional International Culinary Training Program. One of the program's graduates is then hired to work in the hotel kitchen, another shanty opportunity. And by the way, staying at the hotel, doubles go from $375 a day, including breakfast daily and a $100 dining credit. Now, when we move on to a topic called going full gazelle on Tanzania's vast Serengeti Plain, site of the world's largest terrestrial animal migration, we find the 350,000-acre Singida Brumeti Reserve. There, Singida has created low-density tourism with high-density game at its Sabora Tented Camp. This October, the exclusive bush experience gives wildlife viewers a chance to weave a humanitarian element into their safari. During the camp's six-day Serengeti Girls Run, travelers explore this untamed region on foot with optional runs of up to 13 miles per day over 3 days with Grimetti Fun anti-poaching scouts and a support vehicle, as well as a 4K fun run with local girls. The goal is to raise $250,000 for programs that empower girls and women, including scholarships at various schools, mentorship projects, internships, environmental education and life skills, and enterprise development training. And each evening, on a guided game drive, participants explore the teeming Serengeti, where rhinos, elephants, leopards, and hyenas roam. Singida Girls Run Safari starts October 25th, and prices range from $25,000. Now, this includes a $16,500 donation to the Grimetti Fund. Now, under the topic of cruise, we have Waste Not. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch is a graphic example of what happens when plastic waste ends up in the ocean. To help combat the spread of this swirling mess, Regent Seven Seas Cruises is introducing Vero water purification systems to its fleet, thereby eliminating 2 million plastic water bottles annually. Regent is on track to become the first luxury ocean cruise line to nix single-use plastic bottles and has already done away with plastic straws. It's all part of parent company Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings' Sail and Sustain program, which is implementing the No Plastic Straw initiatives across 26 ships and 2 island destinations, avoiding more than 50 million straws each year. Now we head under the title of environment, and more specifically the headline, Bear Witness. Seeing a polar bear in the wild is a wow experience, one that may soon have an expiration date, thanks to a changing climate. Natural Habitat Adventures' upcoming 7-day polar bear symposium in the isolated town of Churchill in northern Canada is a chance to see these majestic predators in the field from land roving vehicles. Sustainability experts, including a Nobel laureate and the World Wildlife Fund's Deputy Director of International Climate Coordination, will join this special expedition to address the issues of a warming Arctic. And as part of a new company-wide initiative, NatHab is offsetting carbon emissions from guest air travel to the symposium and for travel on all its trips, making it a 100% carbon-neutral adventure. And they depart October 14th. The price for this little outing is about $7,295, and of course it can go up if you have additional amenities that go with it. Now we come to the generic title of Global Citizens, and we'll be visiting this from time to time, and under that, New Growth. Off Africa's east coast in the Indian Ocean, the Seychelles Archipelago has beaches, jungle, coral reefs, and one of the world's largest tortoises, and now pencils that bloom. An innovative program at Six Senses Zil Pisan on the private island of Felicite encourages young guests to create artwork in a sustainability storybook featuring the island's turtle and tortoise mascots, after which the used colored pencils, each one holding a flower or herb seed in a water-soluble casing, are planted by the children to promote recycling and horticulture. Not only do carnations, chia, and coriander grow, but also their imagination. And doubles go from $1,600 a day, and this includes breakfast daily and a $200 resort credit. Now, also accompanying some of the articles here at the bottom of the pages are some comments from travel experts, and I wanted to share one with you from this particular page. Her name is Jessica Renshaw. She is from Vancouver, Canada, and she offers a tip concerning sustainable travel. She says, travelers can think micro or macro when it comes to sustainability. A few micro tips. Bring your own reusable straw. Use products that are easier on the environment, such as coral-safe sunscreen and reused towels. When it comes to macro choices, vote with your dollar by working collaboratively with your advisor to choose the most sustainable hotel property in your destination. Now we move on in our sustainability report to another Global Citizen comment. This is called Jungle School. Not far from Ecuador's capital of Quito are the green lungs of the planet. Here, 23-room Mashpi Lodge is set on the 3,000-acre Mashpi Reserve, part of the Choco region, a cloud and rainforest that stretches from Panama into Peru. It's one of the world's most biologically rich ecosystems with thousands of species. Kids 6 years and older staying at Mashpi Lodge can participate in the New Forest Steward Program to learn about these flora and fauna, such as the long-wattled umbrella bird and cloud cats, the largest of which is the puma, and get hands-on experience from trying bird calls to identifying insects. Resident biologist at the on-site Mashpi Laboratory, an all-in-one scientific facility, showroom, museum, and classroom, foster youth engagement in its new kids center, or kids corner, I should say. Kids can also head out with Carlos Morosh, the lodge's expedition manager and director of investigation. He discovered a frog species now called the Mashpi Turrentier during his tenure and specializes in leks, or bird discos, gathering spots where feathered creatures show off their moves and mate. Whether in the lab or the jungle, the goal is to help children spot a green thorn-tailed hummingbird or peer into a microscope instead of their phones. For this adventure, it's going to be doubles at $1,098, includes breakfast daily and a $100 spa credit. Now we move back to the environment and carbon offsets demystified. And here's what it says. Carbon offsets are considered the last thing to do on the sustainability chain, says Costas Christ, Virtuoso's global strategist for sustainability. That means traveling should first take other steps to decrease their carbon footprint, such as booking a hotel that supports robust energy conservation efforts or traveling with a tour company that embraces sustainability best practices, including no plastic water bottles. Plastic is a fossil fuel product that contributes heavily to emissions. Then travelers can turn to carbon offsets, programs that help compensate for emissions by funding projects that reduce carbon going into the atmosphere. Christ suggests buying carbon offsets at a reasonable way to counteract the footprint of air travel, but only through reputable organizations. Two he recommends, U.S.-based Native Energy and Europe-based MyClimate. And a couple of comments from some professional travel experts about this. Dana Brooke is from Sydney, Australia. She says, resort boutiques often stock locally made items that directly benefit the community. Also, switching off your room's lights and AC when you're out and about will reduce energy consumption, so you can help the environment that way. And then we have Fu Wan Lim from Singapore writes, eat local. Don't seek out familiar foods from home, which may have been flown in. We want to not only visit the sites, but also give to the communities by supporting them. Now we have an interesting little sidebar here. It's a picture of three plastic water bottles. Title is 500. That's the fine in euros Capri will levy on anyone toting bags or water bottles made from plastic. The Italian island, which contends with some 2.3 million annual visitors, has recently banned single-use plastics in an attempt to keep this Mediterranean paradise pristine. And then we have steps in the right direction. This is some items you can pack. These are sneakers that, as the editors say, sneakers to pack in good conscience, and we'll explain more. The first one is Everlane, recently pledged to go virgin plastic-free, and the soles on these leather dad sneakers are 94.2% devoid of the stuff. And their trainer starts at $98. Then we have number two is the Allbirds, notoriously comfy kicks in corporate sustainable wool laces made from recycled plastic, and a company commitment to carbon neutrality. and pictured are the women's wool runners. These begin at $95. And number three, a social enterprise masquerading as a bona fide fashion sensation, Veja, V-E-J-A, uses natural rubber that helps preserve an Amazonian rainforest and the livelihoods of the residents there and throughout Brazil, where its production facilities are. And their product that's displayed is called the SDU Hexa. It starts at $111. And another comment, this from travel professional Hetty Marks, who is based in Atlanta. Look for ways to give back during your vacation, especially when you're traveling with kids. Participate in a beach cleanup, bring supplies to a local school, or embark on a larger fundraising project. There's no better way to connect and show gratitude for the gift of travel than to do something to enrich the lives of others. Many hotels and tour operators have relationships with local charities and can facilitate a give-back opportunity. So another nice tip there. Now, our sustainability report is going to take a look at five what they call planet protectors. These are industry insiders, and they're going to offer how they're using travel to make the world a better place. And Costas Christ is the writer and interviewer. And the first interview was with Laura Turner-Sedell, co-owner of the Ted Turner Reserves. That's the same Ted Turner you may be familiar with from television. Growing up as Ted Turner's daughter, my childhood was filled with learning about nature. My father is a conservation champion who leads by example. We'd go for walks when I was young, and he'd teach me not to be afraid of bugs or the sounds and smells of nature in the forest. We need to save everything, he frequently said, and he taught me that small actions add up. He would stop to pick up litter on our walks and then explain the importance of protecting the environment. Although my father is perhaps best known as the founder of CNN, he's especially proud of launching Captain Planet and the Planeteers, a carbon series, a cartoon series educating children about the importance of saving the Earth. Now, this is seen by millions of kids worldwide. He's also established the Captain Planet Foundation to support youth environment education and funded numerous wildlife documentaries and Jacques Cousteau films. He bought up large ranches in North America to rewild habitat, restore ecosystems, and save endangered species such as the American bison. And that led to the creation of the Ted Turner Reserves, which now consist of more than 1 million acres of spectacular landscapes, ranging from snow-capped peaks to arid deserts. She goes on to say, I'm most proud of my father's work with a $1 billion donation to establish the United Nations Foundation, which promotes global health, nuclear disarmament, and conservation of wildlife, including critically endangered species such as the Mexican gray wolf. Visitors can see this conservation work up close at the Ted Turner Reserves, which have the largest bison herds on private land in the world. I've just returned from 3 days at Vermejo, a Ted Turner Reserve located on the New Mexico Colorado border, where you can just feel stress melt away. It's like having your own private national park. It's healing and rejuvenating being surrounded by such majestic natural beauty. Truly a place where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. Our next interview is with Andrea Bionyomek, president of Nomadic Expeditions. And growing up in Mongolia, I spent my summer herding animals with my grandparents who live a nomadic life in the countryside. It's safe to say that the spirit of my family is the reason that travel has always been important to me and why today I'm proud to help lead a company committed to Mongolia's stunning nature and ancient cultures. Well, roughly 500,000 travelers visited Mongolia last year. The government has declared a goal of increasing this to 2 million tourists annually. With that kind of growth, it's crucial to protect our natural ecosystems and nomadic way of life, the very things visitors also come to experience while creating jobs for local people. This is one of the reasons I'm excited about the eco-lodge we're building in Karakoram, the Mongolian capital during Genghis Khan's time, to complement our flagship Gobi Desert Lodge. Nomadic Expeditions strives to help shape Mongolia's tourism industry by example, sharing best practices with other lodges and tour operators in the country. One of our greatest successes is the Golden Eagle Festival, which was established to preserve ancient Mongolian falconry traditions and have helped support over the past two decades. As one of the few female travel executives in Mongolia, it's important for me to empower other young women to succeed. I'm particularly proud that our support for the festival has opened the door for girls and women to participate in the cultural practice. One such story is told in the award-winning documentary, The Eagle Huntress, which demonstrates how tourism can be a force for good. Sustainability is at the heart of our business, but it's also important to me personally. When I travel, I choose hotels that care about the environment, and I only purchase souvenirs made by local artisans. I tend to be a minimalist and like to donate anything I'm not using or don't need. That's the nomadic spirit I was raised with. Travel lightly and care about the places you visit. And then we have Tim Mapes, and he's Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for Delta Airlines. People of all ages and from all corners of the world want to see the planet we live on. At Delta, we do more than simply get you there or bring you back. We want to protect our planet while connecting all of the people and cultures that make life on it so amazing. Our many sustainability initiatives include lowering our carbon footprint, reducing waste, and recycling. For example, we've recycled more than 3 million pounds of aluminum from onboard waste and used the proceeds from recycled drink cans to fund Habitat for Humanity homes built by Delta employees. We even recycled employee uniforms through Looped Works when we introduced a new Zach Posen collection last year. Since 2013, Delta has voluntarily purchased over 12 million carbon offsets, which is the equivalent to the annual emissions from 1.7 million cars. As for my family, my wife Mary serves on the board of the Jane Goodall Institute and works with Goodall and her team to advance awareness of what we can all do to protect animals, humanity, and the environment. Our home was designed and constructed by, to be rather, Earthcraft Gold certified. We drive a hybrid SUV and we financially support environmental organizations. Every day, we're reminded that we can all and should be doing more. Next interview is with Michelle Devlin. She is General Manager of the Egerton House and Sustainability Leader, Red Carnation Hotels. Sustainability is becoming the new normal. It's clearly of increasing importance to our hotel guests. For example, the idea of not changing bed sheets and towels daily is no longer inconsistent with five-star service. It's something our guests expect. Red Carnation Hotels was one of the earliest hotel groups to offer this option to conserve water and reduce use of detergents. Any financial savings we reap from laundering less, we donate to local charities. Guest behaviors are changing in other ways, too. Increasingly, they arrive with their own reusable water bottles and ask us to fill them, and they're glad to hear that we're not only reducing single-use plastics, but that we'll remove them entirely from our hotel collection by 2022. We're now asked questions on issues such as food miles and recycling, and I can only envisage that travelers will challenge the hospitality industry to do even more in the future. Part of our mission is to make a positive impact in local communities, to protect wildlife and marine life, and to care for the planet we all call home. There needs to be a change in the travel industry's notion of sustainability as an add-on to it being a standard part of operations. I actually think sustainability and exceptional guest service are inseparable. And our final interview is with Julian Guerrero Orozco, who's Vice President of Tourism of ProColombia. It was the combination of living in Bogota but spending most of my free time exploring nature at my family's farm that instilled me a connection with a nature that's become my defining character trait. Colombia is one of only 17 countries considered to be mega diverse. We have 98 different ecosystems across five regions: the Caribbean Sea or Caribbean Sea, Pacific Ocean, the Andean Mountains, the Amazon, and the Orinoco River Basin. For me, sustainability commitments shouldn't arise out of fear of a grim future, but rather out of a love and gratitude for our natural environment, based on the understanding that we are one with nature. That's the reason I make personal choices, such as taking public transport, planting trees, and advocating for sustainable tourism practices. Tourism has played a positive role in the construction of peace in Colombia. It not only offers people the possibility to work and generate income, but it's also an opportunity to reframe a tragic past with a reconciliation narrative. ProColombia has played an active role supporting communities around the country with the development of tourism projects, such as river rafting companies set up by former guerrilla members. We've also launched an innovative campaign that focuses on music as an expression of Colombia's diversity. With 23 Colombian artists, we produce 13 songs and music videos inspired by destinations from the country's different regions. We produced the first ever white paper on music and tourism for the UN World Tourism Organization last year, titled Music is the New Gastronomy. With the organization, we're now creating a global music tourism network. We also produced The Birders, a documentary about bird watching in Colombia that includes original music by five artists inspired by bird songs. Well, we now head to the final section, and hopefully we can get through a lot of this. It's quite long, but we're going to highlight some excerpts into Africa, and this is for a sustainably minded grand tour of the continent. Virtuoso CEO Matthew Upchurch and his wife, Jessica Upchurch, Virtuoso Sustainability Ambassador, headed to Africa recently for more than 3 weeks of exploration, family time, and wildlife viewing with their sons Clay, age 14, and Benji, age 10. Here, a look at their four-country sustainability-focused itinerary, along with insights on the experience from the family and safari insiders. And just real quickly, Botswana, Zimbabwe, South Africa, and I think Kenya was also a part of that itinerary. Here's a little bit about their hosts. Wilderness Safaris owns and operates more than 50 camps throughout Botswana, Kenya, Namibia, Rwanda, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, and it was founded in 1983. Then there's Sanjita, which owns 15 lodges and camps in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Rwanda. It was founded in 1993. And then we have Mikado Safaris, a respected family-run safari operator in southern and east Africa. It was founded in 1966. And MeToWe is a social enterprise founded in 2009 to provide domestic and international economic opportunities to We Charity. We Charity empowers communities to lift themselves out of poverty through a holistic, sustainable environmental development model called We Villages in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And here's some examples of some of the traveling they did. First, they went to Johannesburg, and on day two, they were in Botswana, transferred to Wilderness Safari's Little Bambura Camp, located on an island on the lush Okavango Delta. Wilderness Safaris, a bellwether of sustainable tourism, is deeply invested in conserving and restoring African wilderness and wildlife. Since the late 1980s, the company has operated the Wilderness Wildlife Trust, an organization dedicated to animal conservation, community empowerment, and anti-poaching efforts. Then they also went to Botswana and had game drives and exploration at the Little Bambura Camp. And then they transferred to Wilderness Safari's Lukwasha camp on day five of their tour. This is a private concession at the southeastern corner of the Hwang National Park. They write, "One of our favorite guides here, Sam, told us his father was ashamed he wanted to be a guide. But when he arrived home with the first owner of a vehicle in his village, his father was immensely proud seeing Sam tear up telling us his story of a moving reminder of the positive impact of travel on the smallest of local economies," writes Matthew Upchurch. And then we head into South Africa, to Sanjita Sweeney Kruger National Park on days 8 through 11. Sanjita was founded expressly for the purpose of conserving wildlife. Today, the group helps protect more than 1 million acres throughout Africa and gives back to local communities through education, enterprise development, and environmental training designed to minimize poaching by providing locals with economic opportunities. And then as they move into day 16, they were in Kenya, and they had lunch with sponsored children at Giraffe Manor and a visit to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. They said, "We had lunch with two kids we sponsored through America Share, Dennis and Elizabeth, and we've been sponsoring Dennis for 9 years, and he'll graduate from high school this year. It's given him a solid education plus room and board." So lots to gain and learn about sustainable travel here on the Armchair Traveler. And that brings us to the end of today's journey. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll join us next week. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. Comments and questions can be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.